It's just past 7:08 in the morning, and you're listening to Upfront on KPFA. I am Gina Madrid.
And I'm Antonia Yuhas. A new law just passed on July 31st, putting Seattle into the record books as the city with the most comprehensive and far-reaching set of rights and legal protections for domestic workers in the nation. It impacts tens of thousands of people, primarily women, including immigrants and refugees. The domestic workers bill applies to nannies, house cleaners, home care workers, gardeners, and cooks employed by individuals or private residences. We're joined today by two women who spearheaded this historic effort. Seattle City Council member Teresa Moscada, who was just elected to her position in November, is a third-generation Mexican-American. Her first job was helping low-income Latino seniors receive access to health care, housing, and transportation. Struck by the inequities of the health care system, Teresa went on to change it. She sponsored the new domestic workers law. Thank you for joining us, Teresa.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we're also joined by Gilda Blanco, who immigrated to the United States in 2000 from the northern coast of Guatemala in Isabel Livingston, cradle of the African descent Garifuna culture. In the U.S., she worked as a house cleaner for more than 14 years. She joined the Worker Center Casa Latina in 2008, where she founded Women Without Borders and worked on popular education, green cleaning, and health and safety standards in the workplace. Gilda is on the board of directors of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, where she launched the We Dream in Black chapter in Seattle to organize black domestic workers across the diaspora. She helped shepherd the new Seattle Domestic Workers' Rights Bill into law. Thank you for joining us, Gilda.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Gilda, let's start with you. Can you please explain why Seattle needed a domestic workers bill?
Why Seattle need a domestic workers bill is really important questions. The National Domestic Workers Alliance has already passed a similar legislation in 8 states. But Seattle is the first city to have a such an innovative, comprehensive Bill of Rights for domestic workers. It was made possible by grassroots organizing of the Seattle Domestic Workers Alliance, made up with the National Domestic Workers Alliance, Working Washington, Casa Latina, SEIU 775. The alliance was led by domestic workers, employers, and allies, with amazing support from the Seattle City Council and Mayor's Office. We have more than 30,000 domestic workers here in Seattle. So it's really important to us to make sure that we have those protections in their workplaces.
Gilda, can you tell us a little bit about your personal experiences as a domestic worker that led you to push for this, that led you to start organizing and then to push for this comprehensive Bill of Rights?
Yeah, my personal story, my personal experience as a domestic worker, I used to work in this industry for more than 14 years. I facing a lot of verbal abuse, discrimination, wage theft, low wages, also sexual harassment without knowing where to run. So for me, this bill is really personal, according to the reality I already live as an immigrant, as a woman, as a black in this industry.
Thank you. And can you talk a little bit about how you see the rights enshrined in this bill helping to address those problems?
The rights in this bill, we have two important rights who will include a $15 minimum wage is really exciting about, because when I used to work as a domestic workers, my salary per hour, it was $3. So $15 minimum wage is really, really amazing. Periods of rest and meal breaks, employers cannot keep the personal document of domestic workers retaliate against them. The second part is what we are more excited about is a standard board made up of the domestic workers and employers, where they can come together and negotiate. And it creates a workplace norm from the industry, such as wages, portable benefit, and writing contracts. This is a really amazing victory for us, and also for the a lot of allies, a lot of workers who put a lot of effort in that victory here in Seattle.
Thank you. Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda, can you talk more about the details of the bill? You're the sponsor of the bill. You know, what are its components, and what did it take to get it to passage?
Well, thank you so much, and really thanks to Gilda and all of the organizations she mentioned. This was an effort that has been a long time put on the back burner. I used to advocate on behalf of the labor movement with the AFL-CIO for decades, and we kept saying we need to change the law at the state level in Washington State. And these are workers that are mostly women, people of color, immigrants, that don't have national labor protections, as many people know, and have historically been left out for very racist and sexist reasons. And I think that what's powerful about this story, as Gilda just mentioned, is that it is women and people of color and immigrants that led this movement. And me as a, a woman, as a person of color, as someone who wanted to make sure that those voices were getting elevated, this was one of the first pieces of policy that we passed. And the reason is because, as you just heard Gilda mention, nannies, domestic workers, folks who take care of our elders, people who clean our homes and our yards, this is the work that makes the work of our cities possible. So it was an injustice that it had been so long that these workers had been left out. And I think what's really exciting is that we are moving forward and making sure that basic labor protections are applied and that there's an organizing platform for the future. So you heard Gilda mention that there's the right to earn a minimum wage, the ability to have protections from wage theft, making sure that if people are working longer than 4-hour shifts, they get a 10-minute break. If they're working an 8-hour shift, they get a lunch break. And this applies to live-in workers. This was one of the main things that we heard directly from the National Domestic Workers Alliance, that the live-in nannies, the live-in workers, are the ones who are often excluded and having to work 7 days a week and very long shifts. So we actually included protections as well for those folks to be able to get the respite that they need. And we're making protections going forward to make sure that protected classes of workers no longer have to fear intimidation and retaliation. And I'm really excited about the organizing potential for this board that will be coming together to identify how to implement additional policy protections. And I will have to say that one of the reasons that it came together, to your last questions, is that the workers organized along with high road employers. We had organizations like Seattle Nanny Network who have said that this industry has been long underregulated, and they were tired of their competitors undercutting them and treating workers poorly. And they came to the table and helped to negotiate a policy that really helps bring workers out of the gray market. I'm really excited about the collaborative approach that this bill took.
Can you talk more about that? The sectors that were receiving protections versus the workers who were not receiving protections, and any sort of difficulty in the organizing for passage between those two groups?
So in Seattle, thanks to the Seattle Domestic Workers Alliance, they did a survey of domestic workers in our city. And they found that there's about 33,000 domestic workers. Only about 30% of the workers currently work for an agency. And if you're employed with an agency, you are entitled under the law to receive basic labor protections through the employer-employee relationship. So that would be access to minimum wage and sick leave and protection from retaliation. However, you can imagine that when you're working in an isolated home and you may not speak English as your first language, you may fear retaliation or having your documentation status used against you. You don't know where to go potentially to ask for questions about what the labor protections are, and maybe you fear even speaking up. That's what the data showed us. Even for the folks who were classified as employees. And then we had 70% of the workforce, according to their study, that didn't work for an employer. That meant that they were either working as an independent contractor, which many people start their own business, but they also don't know where to go to get templates, those written contracts that Gilda talked about, or they're being misclassified and not eligible and not being told about their rights as workers. In Washington State, no matter what your documentation status is, you have the right to protections as a worker. But we want to make sure that all work, whoever is cleaning homes, taking care of our elders and kiddos, cleaning yards, that classification of domestic worker is now eligible for all of these protections. And that's one of the main accomplishments in the bill as well. This means we're going to go out, we're going to do education with domestic workers, with the hiring entities, whether it's an individual home or whether it's an agency, and make sure that everyone knows the new responsibilities and rights under the law.
One of the hallmark elements of this bill is a first of its kind provision, the creation of a domestic workers standards board. You mentioned this briefly, but can you speak more about what the board's going to do and what made it important to bring it into this bill?
Yes, and I'm so excited. Gilda also mentioned this. This is an opportunity for us to truly level the playing field. It will bring together six individuals representing domestic workers, six individuals representing hiring entities, and one community member that will be appointed as well. And this is truly going to be a level playing field so that people can negotiate what additional benefits should be applied in this industry. You can imagine that this type of work is very different whether you're cleaning 10 homes a day or whether you're taking care of one family's children for 5, 6, 7 days a week. We want to make sure that regardless of the type of work environment that you have, if you are a domestic worker, then you can access things like workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, figuring out how we can create portable benefits like sick leave and family leave so that there is an opportunity for everybody to get access to the labor protections that we're really proud of in Washington State and in Seattle, but are hard to apply to these different work scenarios. But if you are a domestic worker, what the legislation says is that you are now guaranteed rights that are now afforded under the law, and we have this ongoing board that will continue to negotiate and find other ways to apply labor protections to domestic workers. And it truly is, I think, an organizing opportunity, especially under this administration where workers and immigrants and women, people of color, are under attack. We want to make sure that there is constantly a table to elevate those voices and to be improving and enhancing the law.
Gilda Blanco, who has spent 14 years as a domestic worker and a member of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Gilda, can you explain the significance of what it means for individual domestic workers to have these protections? And how hard is it and was it to organize within this community to bring about this type of historic piece of legislation?
Yes, thank you so much for the question. It's really important to know and then to talk about how it's important to us. Also, we know there is a lot of fears in our community in this political climate. This win is about empowerment and making domestic workers feel safe in their workplace, in their community. It is about recognition. It is about dignity. It is also about inspiration for our domestic workers movement in Seattle, the part of the country. So for me, for a lot of domestic workers, mean a lot because they were working really hard to pass this bill, and then also to make sure they have security in their workplace, they have security and in their community. So it's for us, it's a really huge victory.
And again, how hard is it, you know, talk more about the challenges of doing this organizing, because you've spearheaded some really unique efforts on organizing domestic workers, on organizing Black women domestic workers. What does it mean to work within this community, and what are some of the challenges?
Yeah, it was a lot of challenges. It was because there is a lot of domestic workers, they don't recognize they have a right in their work because the society, you know, tell us there is not not part of the industry. They're not part of the work. So I know that the domestic workers make all the work possible, and then contribute to the economy in the society in the city of Seattle. So it was really hard to talk, doing one-on-one, doing outreach, to talk with those women, to orient this woman, to tell them that, you know, we are fighting for their rights, and then, you know, we need to, you know, have their voice and bring their voice together to, you know, to make sure that we are part of this legislation for more than 30,000 domestic workers in Seattle. So it was really hard work, but at the same time, I had a lot of hope. And then after a talk with the workers every month to make sure that they are going to, their voice are going to be part of the change, hear their story, and then we make their victory possible.
And is that, you know, for what worked, because you were successful, is what works being someone who is an organizer who is also in the same place as those you are organizing, being able to listen, being able to elevate their stories? What are some of the tools that made it successful for you?
For me, it was building a really good relationship with the workers, not just only call them to talk with them about the bill, call them to talk with them about how they are doing, you know, how they are feel, you know, because it is a lot of, you know, situation happening around them in terms of the, you know, undocumentations, fears, you know, job problem, a lot of situation happening around the workers. So when I build a lot of, you know, a lot of communication with them, reach them 3-4 times a week before, you know, before having some event or talk with them about the next meetings. But it was, for me, work really well to build those personal relationship with the workers before reach them out to talk a little bit more really deeply about their work situation.
Great, thank you. And Seattle Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda, can you talk about this bill as a positioned within a national movement? Because obviously the issues of income inequality, gender inequality, racial discrimination impacting women and immigrants and domestic workers nationally is a critical issue. How does this bill's passage fit into a national effort?
I also think that it goes back a few years as well. Last year and the year before in 2016 when I ran, we saw record numbers of women and people of color, younger folks, immigrant candidates stand up to run for office for the first time ever, and we won. I think what we saw in yesterday's primary is a continuation of this type of movement where people are saying, it is my term, I am qualified, and I can bring my lived experience. I think that when you have stories like the ones that Gilda just mentioned, and you bring people into office and into decision-making bodies so that we can stand up and protect women, people of color, low-wage workers, immigrants, and do so from a lived experience perspective, we can actually affect change. We can affect change at the local level, and hopefully these issues will then spread across the country as well. Right now, we see women, people of color, immigrants, low-wage workers, union workers under attack at the national level, and it's not just from Trump and his rhetoric, but it's from the policy changes that his administration is forcing upon us. It's from the policy changes that a Republican Congress wants, and it's from the conservative Supreme Court in the decision we just saw on Janus and the ability to organize workers. So as we see this wave of new individuals stand up and reject the status quo and put our issues at the front burner as not only a response to, you know, resisting Trump, but in an effort to say it's beyond time that these issues get addressed, I think we'll continue to see more progressive progressive changes that are rooted in community organizing really come to fruition. As Gilda mentioned, we have 8 other states that had passed the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights in various forms. And I think that what we need is local cities, progressive cities, to stand up and look at the model that we've passed in Seattle. And more importantly, look at the organizing model that Gilda mentioned that made it possible. Organizers worked almost 2 or 3 meetings a week to make sure that we were getting language right. They brought together broad coalitions to make sure that individual organizations' voices were represented, that were representing women and people of color, people who aren't often sitting at the decision-making table. And it was truly through that coalition that this bill was formed. And when we bring people to the table, create space so that they are drafting the bills, when we elect people that more represent our communities, especially those historically left out, and we just don't accept no as the answer, we can actually make these changes. And I think cities are ripe to do that. For a long time, I advocated at the state level that it was high time that we passed something like this in terms of domestic worker protections. And often you hear, not this year, we're not ready yet. Maybe, let me think about it. And when we get people in that will just say, it is time, it's high time, and it's beyond time, I think that that's what it looks like to not just resist, but persist and push a progressive agenda forward. And I know that this is also really critical for how we think about organizing, especially low-income sectors, and also sectors that have been historically left out from traditional organizing. I think that this is a model for us to think about how we continue to elevate low-income worker voices, women, people of color workers, so that everybody has an opportunity to speak up and have protections at the workplace. And this is a post-Janus world, and we're responding.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much. Seattle City Council member Teresa Mosqueda, who just drafted and saw passed into law on July 31st, a brand new Seattle Domestic Workers Bill of Rights. She joined us today from Seattle. We were also joined by Gilda Blanco, a 14-year domestic worker who's on the board of directors of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.